I'm grateful that you've allowed me to be the spiritual leader of First Baptist Church. If there's one thing we need in this world these days, it is exactly that, spiritual leadership. Spiritual leadership is something that our world desperately needs. Whether we're talking about spiritual leadership within the church, or spiritual leadership within the home, or spiritual leadership within our culture, spiritual leadership in our nation, it is something that we desperately need. Leaders are required who are willing to step forward and show the way where Christ is concerned. And it's important for us to remember, it's not enough to make it a goal to be a spiritual leader. That spiritual leadership is something that cannot be claimed. It is something that you earn, and you earn leadership day by day. And as I look around myself, and those of you who have earned that spiritual leadership, and today you're passing it on by serving God, some in public ways, some in private ways, but you're serving God. You're showing the way. You're pointing the direction that we need to go. On my first Sunday as your pastor, I preached a message to you from my life passage. We read it together just a few moments ago, Colossians 1:28, where the Bible says, "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in order to present every, in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." And I thought this morning, for just a few moments, I would return to that passage and look at God's portrait through His Word of what spiritual leadership is supposed to look like, not just from this pulpit, but from our lives. So let's look together at what God requires out of those who would be spiritual leaders. And the first thing we'll see is this: spiritual leadership requires a servant spirit. Verse 24, Paul writes something that on the face is kind of confusing. He says, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church." You read that verse and you wonder, wait a minute, is Paul saying to us there's something that's missing here? Is Paul saying to us Jesus and His suffering was not enough, so I'll have to complete that? That's not what he's saying at all. He's not saying the sacrificial death of Christ is somehow insufficient. Rather, Paul was declaring that practicing sacrificial service is an essential part of authentic spiritual leadership. What he was saying was this: if I'm going to lead, there are going to be times when I'm going to have to sacrifice. There may be times when suffering is required where leadership is concerned. Sometimes that leadership requires an ultimate price. We all know the story of Jim Elliot, whose life was taken by the very people he had come to serve, and who wrote, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose." You may be less familiar with the story of Martin Niemöller, who was an influential pastor in Hitler's Germany. And friends allowed him to escape Germany and make his way to America, but all he could think about was the fact that just when his people needed him the most, he had turned away from them and escaped. And so he found a way to find his way back to Germany, and there he was arrested and placed into a concentration camp. Not long after he was in prison, a friend was talking to Niemöller's father, and he said, "It must be horrible to know that your son is suffering in that kind of camp. It must be a horrible thing to realize you may never see him again." His father replied, "It is horrible, but it would be more horrible to know that God had called and Martin was not available." The Apostle Paul himself would give up his life for the gospel not long after writing these words. Sometimes you pay an ultimate price for servanthood. But many more times the call to sacrificial leadership requires something less dramatic, but just as important. The simple call to be faithful in season and out of season. When it's easy, but also when it's hard. To be willing to die for Christ also means being willing to live for Christ day in and day out. It means serving the Lord in ways that don't draw so much attention. In fact, sometimes it means serving the Lord in ways that other people may never know took place. But that servanthood is so important. It makes such a difference. It means paying the price of perseverance as an offering to the Lord. It means investing in the lives and the needs of other people. When it's easy and in those times when you feel as though I just can't take another step. It means understanding that every day there will be a fresh call from Jesus. Follow me. And that's what we're called to do. To follow Jesus. But here's the thing that's so important for us to remember. Colossians reminds us that you do it all with joy. You don't consider it a burden, and you never think of it as an obligation. It is a joy. Leadership is not a burden to bear. It's an opportunity to serve God and to serve other people. Over the past 10 years, it's been my joy to serve as your pastor. Now understand, not everything we've gone through is a joy. I can look around this room and I can see folks who went through really challenging situations in your lives, in your homes, and the things that were going on in your circumstances. I've seen folks who have been through really challenging times. I've heard your stories. I've been there when you were hurting. I've cried with you in your pain. But it has been a joy because as a church family, we went through those times together. And we held one another up and we loved one another. And today we continue to serve Him with joy. We take the Lord at His word when He says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And it always has. And it always will. At its core, spiritual leadership is a personal response to God's personal call. Sometimes we think about being called by God and we think, well, the only people who are called by God are those who are called to be pastors or worship leaders or missionaries. Or somehow serve a church, but it's an awful lot more than that. God's personal call is, this is how He wants to use me. You know how many people are called in this congregation this morning? Every single one of us. We are called in different ways to serve Him in different places because leaders come in all shapes and sizes. We have different gifts and different passions and different ways that we serve. Some are called to vocational leadership. Some are called to leadership roles within the church. But all of us have a call from God. All spiritual leaders have three things in common. Spiritual leaders are stewards of their gifts. One of the things the Bible tells us is every one of us have gifts that were given us through the Holy Spirit by the Lord Himself. You have your spiritual gifts, except here's the thing. Nobody has a spiritual gift. Nobody says, I have the spiritual gift of mercy. I have the spiritual gift of administration. I have the spiritual gift of evangelism. I have this spiritual gift or that spiritual gift. None of us have a spiritual gift. You know what we do? We use our spiritual gifts. The Lord has placed this gift in my life, not so I can have it, but so I can use it. And anybody who holds it to themselves, they don't understand why they're gifted. And gifted leaders understand, I am a steward of this gift. If God has given it to me, He expects me to put it to work. And He expects me to put it to work by serving other people. So stewards exercise their spiritual gifts. And not only that, spiritual leaders respond to God's call with servant hearts. I use my gift and I am prepared to give and not to take. I'm ready to serve more than I'm ready to be served. Leaders never set themselves up on high and look down on the people around them. Instead, they lead from the middle. Because that's what a leader is supposed to do. That's the example that Jesus set for us, who did not look down upon His people, but He came to live in the midst of us. And to serve us right where we are. And spiritual leaders depend upon Jesus for the power and the inspiration to serve. I love the way Colossians expresses it. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. None of us are sufficient in and of itself. Our sufficiency comes from Christ in you. In you. And through you, as you serve His people. God has given spiritual leaders clear instructions. It's found in Colossians 1:28, the verse that I have loved throughout my ministry. It says that there are four things we are to do. It says, Him we preach. When you lead as a spiritual leader, it is a Christ-centered ministry. If somehow or another it never comes back to Jesus, it may be interesting and it might even be religious, but it's not Christian. Him we proclaim. Warning every man a clear gospel message. You know, one of the temptations that we face as leaders, particularly in a time such as the one in which we live, is, well, let's just take the edge off of the gospel. Let's make it a little easier for people to hear. Let's take the requirements back a step or two. Maybe we even need to talk about the fact that there are all kinds of ways to heaven and Jesus just happens to be our way. The problem is, none of those things are true. And we are called to warn every man. That is to declare a clear gospel that says it is only through Christ that you can be saved and experience everlasting life. There is no other way. It may be from time to time, and particularly as time goes by, that people may say something like this. You know, those people aren't coming to your church anymore because you made it sound so hard. It sounded so absolute. That's okay. Better that than to have someone face eternity and say, nobody ever told me the truth. We are called to be people who lead and proclaim the truth, a clear gospel message. And then he goes on and he says, teaching every man, that is, taking folks who are believers and helping them to become deeper in their faith, declaring God's word, revealing God's word, teaching God's word, empowering people to walk in God's word. A little while ago, Dr. Hopkins was talking about the ministry group that continues to meet. If you're ever in town on Tuesday at 7:30, here we are, Joe. You remember how that group began? We began that group when Nathan was preparing for ordination. And we were meeting to invest in him. And we continue to invest yet today. It's what we do. We disciple one another. And then it says this, and this is so important. In order to present every man perfect in Christ. Are you perfect yet? Raise your hand. Are you perfect yet? I wasn't raising my hand. That was a demonstration. Me neither. There are days when I wonder how far I have gotten. What do you think Paul was saying to us? This is what I think he was saying. You serve the Lord and His people for the long run. If you're going to present everyone perfect, that means you stick with it. You don't stop. You keep going. You never give up. Because it's going to take a long time to present every man perfect. When's that going to happen? When we see each other in heaven. And until that time, you just keep on serving. And that's what God's called me to do as your pastor. But it's more important for us to realize that's what God is calling us to do as a church family. For 150 years, this church has been faithful. And for 150 more, we will continue to be faithful unless the Lord returns. We are committed for the long term. God's calling us to be spiritual leaders in a world that needs to see what it means to follow Jesus, whatever comes. But it does begin with that, a personal choice to follow Jesus. I said a while ago we need to present a clear gospel message, and that clear gospel message that we need to remember today is this: every one of us are sinners. We are separated from God by our own bad choices and our own rebellion. And if you think somehow you can straighten yourself out, save yourself, earn your way into heaven, you're wrong. There's only one way, and that way is through Jesus Christ. And today, if you're here and you're not a believer, this is the day when you need to say to Jesus Christ, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Grant me everlasting life. Because Jesus, you and you alone can do that. If you're here today and you haven't received Christ as Savior, in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And I'll be here at the front, and I would be so glad to meet you and greet you and introduce you to my Savior. Or maybe you're here and you're recognizing, you know what? God wants me to be a member of this church. I want to invest in what God is doing here. This is where He wants me to exercise my spiritual leadership. Maybe there's another decision. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. As God speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing. It's been a wonderful time in God's house today. What a blessing to have been part of this service. And we're not done yet. We have dinner waiting in a few moments. You may have walked in today and said, "This is the first time I've ever visited this church." Come stay for lunch with us. You'll be glad you came. John David, do we have any last instructions of any kind other than let's close the service and... Okay, four different tables, and just go down. We're going to have a great time. It's going to be a wonderful time together, and we look forward to sharing that time with you. Dr. Bryant Strange with us today, and we've asked Bryant, if he would, to close our service in prayer, and then one final song before we dismiss.
I'm standing up here because... Thank you. There is a friend of mine by the name of Dr. Charles Carter. He and I have probably made a dozen to maybe 15 trips to South Texas. Can you imagine riding 16 hours with Charles Carter? Most of the time, it was a great time. But I want to tell you something. He was telling me the story about a friend of ours who said to his deacon, said, "We want to pray for so-and-so because he's been very, very..." Oh, I don't mean very, very. I mean he's been very sick. Charles Carter, my dear friend of long, long term, has been very, very sick. And he's getting very, very well now. Amen. And so we want to... But he has been the recipient of lots and lots of prayers from this church, from my church, from churches across this land, from families across this land, all of them who have known him. And we are grateful for those prayers. And so... we want to affirm that prayer does make a difference. Amen. And we pray for this man as we close our service. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in the life of Charles Carter, who's been very, very sick, who's now getting much, much better. And we pray that you'll continue to be in his life, meet his needs, strengthen his family, lift them up as they have been marvelous caregivers during these several months. And we pray for his continued well-being and you to use him in the proclamation of your gospel. Send each of us away from this place with a commitment that we will love one another, that we'll pray for one another, and that we'll serve one another. In the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.